Now the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning. This is your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. We'll keep touching on some of the national spin through politics. And, of course, we had the president's call for an investigation into illegal voting, which he said ran into the millions, despite no real evidence of that. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer was asked about that at a recent briefing.
Does the president believe that millions voted illegally in this election? And what evidence do you have of widespread voter fraud in this election, if that's the case?
The president does believe that. He has stated that before. I think he stated his concerns of voter fraud and people voting illegally during the campaign. And he continues to maintain that belief based on studies and evidence that people have presented to him.
But exactly what evidence? Speaker Ryan today said there's no evidence. The National Association of Secretaries of State say that they don't agree with the president's assessment. What evidence do you have?
As I said, I think the president has believed that for a while based on studies and information he has.
Now, I want you to note how Spicer carefully phrased his response to say that the president believes massive vote fraud occurred. And he was asked about that when he spoke to ABC's David Muir.
What you have presented so far has been debunked. It's been called false.
Take a look at the Pew reports.
I called the author of the Pew report last night, and he told me that they found no evidence of
voter
fraud.
Really? Then why did he write the report?
He said no evidence of voter fraud.
Excuse me. Then why did he write the report, according to Pew Report? Then he's groveling again. You know, I always talk about the reporters that grovel when they want to write something that you want to hear, but not necessarily millions of people want to hear or have to hear.
So you've launched an investigation.
We're going to launch an investigation to find out. And then the next time, and I will say this, of those votes cast, none of them come to me. None of them come to me. They would all be for the other side.
And that's the president speaking to ABC's David Muir. Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is someone I've known for quite some time, as we were kind of recounting that off air. Greg Bays, he is the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. And we had the kind of prospect of maybe some thawing going on in Springfield. And I know in the upcoming piece that you've got in your member publication, where you kind of talk about how both Washington and Springfield seem to be these dysfunctional places, but that with as far as the Illinois Senate and Senate President John Cullerton, the Democrat, and Senate Republican Leader Christine Rodonio, that they've actually been talking to each other! And there was supposed to be a vote last week. We started seeing nobody said that the wheels were coming off, but I think I wrote that the lug nuts were coming off one at a time, because kind of the enormity of what's facing them in trying to deal with this. As you said, people have been talking about wanting to fix things for a long time, but the pressure's on.
Well, that's true, and thanks for having me this morning, Rick. What's surprising about what you're watching down there is that I think the realization to legislators and everyone that the day has arrived, that they need to get something done. Let's think about this for a second. We're at a deficit at somewhere in the neighborhood on annualized budget between $6 and $7 billion. A point on the income tax is only worth about $1.92 billion. So you start thinking about how are you going to get out of this mess? To Senator Cullerton and Rodonio's credit, they, over the holidays, sat down, started talking about things, and I think are genuinely trying to move this thing forward. And, you know, I wasn't as worried about last week as some might be that they should have had a vote. You're not going to ask people to vote for a tax hike, and that's what's coming. A tax hike is coming up some form or fashion until it's ready. And what means ready? They're talking about education reform, changing the formula. They're talking about property tax reform. They're talking about things near and dear to my community's heart in business reforms. All of these things are very contentious. And so it's going to take a little more time, I think, to get something that maybe not the final product, but a product can be moved out of the Senate for the House to consider.
Well, one of the things that I heard from the Republican side is that they felt that Democrats could give a little bit more when it came to things that business would like, given how, you know, there's talk of opportunity tax, which is a business payroll tax, although it's not
based on payroll.
I wouldn't say it's a substantial tax, but it's still a tax.
It is.
But just that there was more room for the business community to go. And the Manufacturers Association and yourself, unlike the State Chamber of Commerce, the State Chamber of Commerce was just a blanket no on everything.
I'm not trying to
pit you guys against each other, but one of the things that the Republicans said was they needed some more buy-in from business.
I have been saying, I made a speech back in August, that the manufacturing community that I represent, we are willing to see revenues raised if certain things are also accomplished. Some tax credits, workers' comp is what, you know, we talk about all the time. And there have been very substantive discussions, and those discussions are not far from, I think, bearing fruit. And so the idea to keep the encouragement going, because Republicans that are going to have to vote for this are going to be looking to their business community friends, chamber, ourselves and others, what are they going to be saying? And so we need to make sure that if we're going to support tax increases on the income tax, the business opportunity tax is a suggestion that's out there, whether it passes muster. They are also talking about getting rid of something called the franchise tax in this state. So there's trade-offs going on. Rick, you and I have seen over the years the rare occasions when the budget has been reformatted, tax increases, tax hikes. It takes a lot to put that together. And I think at the end of the day, if reasonable people will continue to move forward, I think the governor is going to have to come more directly involved in these negotiations. And I urge him to do that, because ultimately the governor has to make these decisions. And the decision last week, you mentioned a little earlier, the attorney general's decision, so that requires them to, quote, abide by the state's constitution. You shouldn't be spending money without an appropriation. That's going to bring this thing to a head, and most likely in the next month.
Well, let me ask you about the move by Lisa Madigan late Thursday, where she went to a court in St. Clair County. A judge there had previously ruled that state employees were entitled to be paid despite the in the absence of a direct appropriation by the legislature as a bill being signed. And there was a state Supreme Court ruling previously that had determined that absent an appropriation, there's no authority to spend. Lisa Madigan goes to court on Thursday, asks that earlier St. Clair County ruling allowing paychecks to go out, that be lifted. A lot of questions about why now, you know, political speculation. But I think it does force things to a head.
Well, a lot of the black helicopter crowd believes that she must have gone to breakfast with her father, and they said, okay, it's time to put the pressure on. I don't believe that. I think the attorney general was responding to the current activities going down. Now, can they get their act together? Can they get a budget put together? No one wants to see state employees not receiving a paycheck. But as you and I also have seen over the years, that has been always a driving factor in the past when there would be a logjam at the end of a legislative session. There'd be usually maybe 4 to 6 weeks, and they know they'd have to get this done because, quote, paychecks had to go out. Well, once that judge made that ruling, and it's no surprise they were in St. Clair County, a very trial bar oriented part of the world down there. Oh, no, you've got to do that. And clearly, if anyone reads our state's constitution, and it does matter, it says you have to have an appropriation line item. Everybody's tried to get along enough to get this, and now we're at a point where they really do need to move forward on this. And I don't think they can hide behind, you know, we got to pay state employees no matter what any further. The law is the law.
And as she said in her filing, that the fact that paychecks were still going out has removed that kind
of
pressure valve,
right,
and has allowed things to continue to fester without any kind of movement. She's basically said, asked that February 28th, the end of February, be kind of the D-Day for things to go on. We're speaking with Greg Bays. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in Tribune Tower. Joining me in studio is Greg Bays. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. We're kind of talking about the, I guess I would term this package almost like a floating crap game. I mean, there's parts that are very fluid here. We know certain ideals are set, and one of those, as you mentioned, is that there will have to be an increase in taxes. Two things along with that, and particularly for the Republican members, one is, I think you touched on this, is that they need some clarity from the governor, and they need to make sure that the governor has got their back.
Right. And well, the governor's been clear from the very beginning of some of the things he has to have on the reforms and necessary. And frankly, the governor has changed his, has backed off many of the things that he was demanding 2 years ago at this time, to his credit, and has continued to be stonewalled in a lot of areas on that. I liken it a little bit, not a floating crap game, more the Dance of the Seven Veils. That there's things that are sort of going on to your imagination that might occur, and then, you know, people becoming clear. No one wants to get to this position of having to make this kind of tough vote. A day of reckoning is arriving, and many legislators, it's dawning on them that they'll have to do it. Republican side of the aisle, they're going to have to know that the governor is supportive of this. Republican senators who may be asked to vote on something as early as next week are not going to vote for something that the governor is not supportive of. So the package that Senator Redonio and Cullerton arrive at better have some signal or direct involvement from the governor's office that this makes sense, or I don't think it's going to pass. So I think that's one of the key things we should start waiting to see. What's the signal from the governor's office on this package?
We've got a call from Don. Don, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Yes, Tim. I'm just wondering when the people in the legislature are going to realize that raising taxes is counterproductive. Raising taxes, and you raise millions and millions of dollars doing it, takes all that money out of the economy. It takes the money away from people who've got to either pay their bills or pay taxes. They can buy or pay taxes.
All right, Don. Thank you for your question, comment. Well, one is, I think, given the state of Illinois and the deficit that it's running, that there you have businesses that are, you know, that would be part of right. This economy that are not getting paid.
My membership's not looking to pay more, but let's understand state income tax is 3.75, significantly lower than the surrounding states that we have. We're running this deficit, some suggest, $14 million a day we're spending currently at the moment that we're taking in. Businesses like my members look at a state and how it's running if they want to locate there. Is it a state that I want to continue to be in? The whole notion of what Illinois is right now is terrible. And the idea that a company wants to come and locate here, or the idea that they're going to expand here, is an anathema because they're looking at a system that's not running correctly. Is raising taxes the only answer? No. There needs to be cuts. There needs to be redirection. There needs to be reforms that the governor has talked about. And if you do that, that will put us into a situation more competitively with our surrounding states and in line with what our surrounding states happen to be. Those who say, well, you can just cut and you can get out of this problem, really do not understand the finances of the state of Illinois and the things that their representatives have voted for and put into place to spend money on.
But the issue of cuts in there, and I think lies another problem, is that if you're going to take a tax hike vote, you'd like to be able to show corresponding cuts and savings that you're making.
Oh, I think they will. I think they
well,
will
but you need a budget bill right. To do that, and we're not anywhere close to having a budget bill. You need a full year budget bill.
Right.
For the budget year that starts July 1st, and that's still down the road.
It's down the road, and I think it would get put together. There's been an awful lot of work behind the scenes done. So if you were to come to agreement on a revenue package, cuts, and reforms, then I believe you would see a budget to be able to put together. And again, That's where the governor has to be involved, because it's the budget there. He will be executing his agencies, and they will have to be directly involved in that.
But, I mean, if it would be easier if you could say, hey, look, we're cutting this, we're cutting that, we're in a managed sense. The other thing I wonder about, too, and the lack of a capital bill with this, because traditionally, to kind of make the medicine go down, you do, and you're, if you're going to vote for taxes, you might as well look at a capital bill too, because that way at least you could got something that you can take home.
There's a lot of interactions that go on in this, and clearly, as we know in the past, there's always been capital bills involved in any kind of major tax increase. Legislators want to be able to point to problems they're solving at home, and oh, by the way, that was the reason that we voted for this. Don's remark shows exactly what the kind of reaction will be in the general public. Nothing wrong with that reaction. But they need to understand fully that fixing roads, bridges, paying for Medicaid, paying for schools, all of these things come from somewhere. Do you want to push more pressure on the property tax in the suburbs? Are you going to see the diminution of education in downstate because they don't have the property tax base? These are all things that go together to help make our state, the fabric of our state, stronger. And I would say, and we talked about earlier, 40 years ago when I started in this business, the notion that we would see billboards of Indiana making fun of us would have been laughable at the idea. Now it's sort of a thought, well, Indiana's a better place to go do business. They've got their act in together. Well, we've got to change that whole philosophy, because if we don't, Illinois is continuing to be on a downward slide, and that hurts not only the citizens of this state, but this region, because Chicago, Illinois is really the economic engine of the Midwest. And if it's not functioning correctly, I don't care what our friends in Indiana and Wisconsin say, the entire region is hurt.
And, I mean, but we get into that regionalism politics all the time in this state, where things that are would provide money, like for the Chicago Public Schools, instantly become a political foil, as for someone downstate, as you're voting for a bailout for the city of Chicago. And yeah, regional politics is endemic in how things are done. Here again, you're looking at this package of 13 bills or so that the Senate is starting to consider. They're talking about doing what's known as structured roll calls that allows less politically vulnerable members to vote for certain things. So one's Republicans, a certain number that could vote for a tax increase and not necessarily be placed in political jeopardy. This also is part of the moving machinations that are going on.
Correct. And what the governor, who certainly has the resources to be supportive of people who do take those tough votes, and talking about his vision for this state. A governor provides vision and direction. You know, you talk about the, you know, Scott Walkers of the world, or the Mike Pences of the world before he became. They had a vision of where they were taking their state. You may not have agreed with it. You may, you know, been very adamantly opposed because of some, but they had a vision. Governor Rauner's got a vision as well. And in this first 2 years have been somewhat thwarted because of the political activities there. Again, you may not agree with everything Governor Rauner said at the beginning of his administration, but it was to change and break the cycle of deficit spending, not trying to have an economy that is growing in this state, and looking to really take care of the most vulnerable in this state. Those are the kind of things governors present an image and go out and campaign on. And 2 years from right now, if we're sitting here, we will have seen how that has all played out. If he goes 4 years without getting a budget, as is thwarted by the Democrats in doing that, how is that politically going to impact him and Republicans? How is it going to impact the Democrats in this state? Look at what's happened across the country. There has been a systemic change in direction. The Wisconsins, the Michigans, the Pennsylvanians voting for Trump, not because I think they love the guy, but I think it was because, look, this direction we've been headed for a while is not the right direction. We want to try something different, and different we're getting.
That's Greg Bays. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, a good friend of the program. Greg, thanks so much for getting up with me this morning.
It was a pleasure, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.